Welcome to Cancer Conversations. I'm your host, Erica Matthews. I am a wife, mom, and wellness coach. I understand the trauma of getting a cancer diagnosis and the intense battle a person instantly steps into. This podcast is all about learning how to overcome adversity and how activating faith plays a key role in the outcomes we want to have. Each week, I will be bringing you education and inspiration, as well as interviews with other fellow warriors. Get ready to be empowered in your faith, mindset, and your health. Now, let's get into today's episode. All right. Well, we have a wonderful guest on this week's show, and we met a few months ago, and I know a little bit about your story. And when you said the name Jesus and holistic, since that's what my whole podcast is about, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to have this woman on the show. So welcome, Denise Gosin.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yay. Well, I know there's a lot of people that listen in and they're always looking for hope. And so your story is going to be so inspiring. So take us back to, you know, before diagnosis, what your life looked like and just kind of, you know, then what you were diagnosed with, and we'll start there.
Okay. So my life was interesting. I have 10 children and I was, well, my baby's in heaven. So I was homeschooling 9 children and I did not have a good marriage. And I don't want to make my husband sound like a terrible person because I know this is going out to a lot of people. So I just have to leave it there that I was not a happy person. I was depressed. And I had, you know, it's hard raising children and then homeschooling them on top of it. And then there being so many, it's just not easy. And then I was diagnosed in 2010. I was almost 49 and I had, you know, and I'm not an expert at all these diagnoses. I don't really, I'm sorry, I can't really be really specific, but I know that it was like level one breast cancer. And it was, I was told it was slow growing. So that was good news. And I probably did not really need a lumpectomy, which I learned later that, you know, it might not have been that serious of a problem, but we can get back to that subject later. So that's kind of the beginning.
Okay. So what came over you when you were diagnosed? Was it an absolute shock or were you like, this isn't surprising to me?
Yes, I was surprised because I believe in kind of an organic diet. I'm not perfect by far, but I thought I was a somewhat healthy person. I was a Christian. And so I thought, why is this happening to me? This doesn't make, is this real? You know, your brain kind of says, nah, this can't be right. This happens to other people. I think we all do that. This happens to other people, not me. Only in the news, only in the movies, but not me. But so, you know, there is that initial denial. And I thought, what in the world? And of course, the doctors want you to be, you know, really afraid, on high alert. So that doesn't help. But I woke up the next morning after finding out, and my husband had taped a note on the wall saying, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so that was my first glimmer of hope and a light of the end, at the end of the tunnel, before I went through the journey or anything. That was so important that he did that.
Right. I think it's so important when our husbands can step up and just be the leaders that we need them to be. So that's so awesome.
Right.
Wow.
And not all of us have a person, a support person.
Yeah.
Some people are going this alone and I feel for you, but God loves you no matter who you are out there. No matter if you feel like you're all alone, you're not. God loves you. And there's many of us who have gone through this. So we know, we understand.
Well,
and it's not the same for all of us. You know, we each have a different journey.
Wow. So did you feel the need to kind of keep the diagnosis away from your children, or did you invite them to know about everything?
I think we told them, but we didn't really go into a lot of detail, and it depends on their age. Some of them were able to understand, others just, mommy is sick, but she's fine. You know, but we, it just depends. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, you don't want to scare your children, but I don't think it's good to be dishonest either. So I think we chose which ones to tell at which point. Mm-hmm. And of course, they needed to know why I was going to the doctor and things. So they had to know eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the older ones knew to pray and knew that this could be serious.
Mm.
But we didn't want them to feel like we were afraid. Mm-hmm. We were calm and we just shared the information matter-of-factly. They didn't know what the word cancer meant anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like saying I had the flu. They didn't know the difference.
Right.
So for the other ones, the older ones who kind of understood, we just were careful to have the right attitude and not make them afraid.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want your family to be afraid because then they won't be on your side. They'll be negative.
Yes. So very good. So now you decided not to choose the Western medicine route.
For the most part. So they told me to get a biopsy. And when I got the biopsy, they left a metal clip inside of me, assuming that I was going to go ahead with the surgery. Mm. And so I had to go ahead with the surgery in order to remove the metal clip, which isn't fair. I didn't have a choice.
Wow.
So, and back then I really didn't know very much. You kind of sometimes learn things after the fact. So like I said before, I'm not sure that I really needed the surgery.
Uh-huh.
But then they told me to do radiation and I did not show up.
Mm.
And they kept hounding me for a while. And then they stopped and forgot all about me. And I just managed to escape the system because I didn't feel that radiation was going to help me. I had a naturopath doctor and he didn't recommend it. Mm. And since then, I have heard that radiation actually and chemotherapy cause cancer.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think that's a very good option. Something that causes what you're already fighting.
Exactly. Oh. Okay, so you had the support of a naturopath doctor that was encouraging you to go more of a holistic route. Okay, that's helpful. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And I think that that's what we all should do. We should not put too much trust in traditional medicine. And traditional medicine is wonderful for some situations. I'm not saying to ignore medical doctors altogether. I don't think that's wise, but I do think that you have to use wisdom and decide what type of doctor do I need for my situation. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend seeing a naturopath for just about any ailment because they understand more about what the human body does and what the causes are of diseases are, whereas the medical profession more teaches them how to find a medicine to go along with the symptom.
Right.
So they're not into prevention, and it's just a different way of thinking. So anyway.
Yeah.
I think, did I answer your question? I can just sure rattle on and on.
Well, so were you did you deal with fear at all? Like when you first got diagnosed, what were your emotions that came up?
Yes, I think that's natural. And I think because I knew the Lord, I kept fear in check. I can't say I was not afraid because that would be lying.
Mm-hmm.
But I also did not give in to fear and let it destroy me emotionally. And so I think it's important to not be afraid because when you're afraid, you are letting the enemy get a foothold of anything. If you're playing soccer, whatever it is you're doing, if you're in a competition of some sort, doesn't matter what it is. If you're afraid, you've already given the opponent a foothold. You know, you don't want to give in to that. So, yes, we tend to be afraid, and that's a normal human emotion. So I don't want to say you're a bad person for being in fear at all, you know. You just have to not let it get control of you because fear is, God gave us fear for a reason. It's to know, okay, there's a problem. There's a danger, potential danger here. And we need to do something to protect ourselves. So fear is a good thing if we use it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say, you know, to help somebody who is dealing with the fear, what advice would you give to them? Because it is, like you said, it's very common. Like, I know even my own self, I was like tormented when I first got diagnosed. And I know Jesus, like I know him, but I could not get a hold of it. And my diagnosis was stage 4 ovarian cancer. And they said the cancer was everywhere and treated me like, you know, basically there was no hope. And so my little heart was in such fear because I was seeing, you know, like the way they were trying to keep me comfortable. And like, it's just a miraculous story. But it took me 2.5 months to kind of walk myself out of that. And that was through, I mean, for me, it was people that would just pray over me and just break that spirit of fear off of me. I was fasting. I was taking communion. I was just meditating on the word of God. I was worshiping. I mean, and then it was still, but so it took me 2.5 months.
Well, there are some people who live with fear for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just almost a habit. Mm-hmm. But I think, and you know, I don't remember your question now.
Well, what would you say to somebody who
has
a diagnosis and they're dealing with that fear?
Okay, you know, I've heard people say that fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. Mm. I think that's excellent because just think about it. If you're having nightmares, is that real? No. What if you dream about this dragon that comes in your room and sets your room on fire? Is that real? But it feels real at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to really discern, is this fear or is this actually happening?
Yes.
And do you know that you're actually dying from your from what you have? Do you actually know that? Mm. Or do you know that maybe there is a chance that you could live?
Yes.
And so, and the other thing is fear of dying isn't necessarily easy either. If you have made yourself right with God, then you don't even have to be afraid of dying.
Yes.
So focus on your health and not your fear. Don't let that control you. Because, you know, like when you're afraid of something, you're afraid of an avalanche and you're driving down the road and there's all these rocks and you're thinking, oh my gosh, any second now, all these rocks could fall on top of my car and I'll be a goner. Well, what are you afraid of? What if the avalanche never happens? That's not real.
Mm.
Now, if an avalanche happens and it smashes you and you end up in heaven, then there you go. It was real. It wasn't something to be afraid of. But then why be afraid of dying? You don't need to be afraid of dying if you feel at peace with God. And I'm not saying if you're a perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another subject. That's a rabbit trail.
Yes.
A good rabbit trail, but nevertheless.
I love that. Yes. I think so many people, they just really camp out in that place of like the what ifs, right? Worst case scenario. And it's just, we have to reel ourselves in, you know? So I love
and
that.
And your story is amazing that you were diagnosed with stage 4.
Yeah.
And you're still here.
I'm still here. Yep. I'm going, it's just started. It's been over 4 years now. So yeah.
Wow.
But that is, I awesome. Mean, I clung to the Lord and I remember fasting and praying and asking God for scriptures because his word doesn't return void. So if he was going to speak to me and give me a promise of hope, then it was almost like it didn't matter what I was going through because he told me the end of the story. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
So that's something I encourage people to do. If you're a believer.
Yeah. Right. We can depend on the word, the Bible. And if we find some scriptures, and there are a lot of them, if we find some scriptures to tell us what we don't really believe totally, you know, like God is a good God. And there's just lots of wonderful scriptures that can help you to change your thinking. It's really all like Joyce Meyer wrote that book, The Battlefield of the Mind. I haven't actually read it yet. But it's really a lot of our battle is really in our mind. And is it real? Who, you know, it will become real if you let it.
Yes.
So we have to focus on what we want our reality to be.
So good. Exactly. So you practiced what you preached, obviously, because you're to the other side. How long did it take you from diagnosis to getting completely clear of cancer?
So I was diagnosed in 2010, and I believe September of last year, 2023, I was finally told there was no suspicious findings, is how they word it.
Wow.
So that was 13 years of this cloud over my head, when I'm trying not to be in fear, trying to make all the right decisions, trying to focus on the Lord. I have to be honest. It wasn't an easy road. Mm. I had to battle in my mind. I had to always, you know, try to keep up my faith. And one time a pastor's wife prayed for me and she says, you know, I don't think you're in faith. Mm. I thought, well, thanks a lot. You know, I go home feeling insulted. Mm. But it's like if you told a man, I don't think you're strong enough. What's that man going to do? He's going to do everything in his power to prove he's strong enough for whatever it is. He's going to prove that he's strong enough. And so that's what she did to me. She said, I don't think you're in faith. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And I kind of, you know, prayed and rose up and I said, I am going to be in faith here. But the reason I wasn't, this is another rabbit trail. I'm sorry about this. But I had a friend who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer and she died. Mm. And so this had happened right after she died, that this pastor's wife was praying for me. So her having died and being my friend kind of weakened my faith. I thought, well, if she died, then what's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
So that was a short time in my life where my faith was weakened by seeing what happened to another person. And that's, I'm not there anymore. That, you know, that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. I think that though, a lot of people do that. They're like, oh, well, that could happen to me, right? We compare ourselves. I did that in the beginning a ton. And it didn't help when I would get messages from people saying, you know, I know you're believing for a different result, but my mother died of ovarian cancer.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay. That is not helping my situation. I actually have to confront people and really get in their face and say, okay, I can't have you in my life right now. And right. I think that's, you know, I don't know if you had to do any of that, but we have to like take the bull by the horn, right? It's like, this is all or nothing. Like this is our life we're talking about, right?
That's right. We have to have our boundaries.
Boundaries.
And we have to decide who is helping us and who is not.
Yes.
And those people who have negative things to say do not deserve to talk to us.
Yes.
And we can talk to them as when absolutely necessary, such as, yes, I made that phone call. That's it. You answer their question. I got to go now. But you really don't have to spend time talking for an hour to your mother-in-law who wants to tell you all the things that could go wrong. Yeah. She's speaking out of fear. No, thank you. Yeah. Keep your fear to yourself. You deal with that. I don't need it. And surround yourself with people who have faith and people who are rooting for you. And they may be a little afraid too, but they don't say it. Yeah. They're saying positive things. They're saying, keep going. What else can I do for you? Do you need something? And mm-hmm. I think you're doing great. Something encouraging.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of people you need to surround yourself with.
Yes.
Because, you know, no man is an island. We can't really be a strong, powerful person of faith without help. You know, that's what the body of Christ is all about. We have each other for a reason.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Now, was your husband on board with your holistic way and was he supportive?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But I did have to argue with him now and then about, because he was sometimes afraid and thought, well, shouldn't we at least do this or that? Oh, so it did make him feel better if I had a lumpectomy, like it's gone. What you see, you don't see anymore. And that made him feel better. So after I had the surgery, he thought, okay, we're done with this. Not necessarily. You're only done with what you could see. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going on in the rest of your body. So whether or not you get surgery, you still have to think about how to be healthy and how to not welcome cancer into your body. Mm-hmm. And also how to not welcome a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of cancer, a spirit of death. You need to tell the demons they are not welcome. You need to take control and say, and hopefully you do know Jesus. But I had to say, I belong to Jesus and I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in me and I will not allow cancer in my body. So anyway, but I got off the subject. My husband, he, for the most part, he was supportive and let me do what I wanted as far as what books I read and what natural remedies I used. And he didn't pressure me to go get the radiation, but it did make him feel better that I got the lumpectomy. And that's that. There's, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that he was supportive. So then how come it took, do you think, 13 years for it to finally, you know, for them to say you're clear?
Because I have a visible lump still, and they can't tell you what it is. It could be scar tissue. And I even still had pain last year. So what is that pain? And the pain was on the side that I had the cancer. So that's still a little scary. Mm-hmm. Up in, you know, 13 years later. So I think that it was scar tissue, and I think I'm not worried. So I guess it was actually, we don't know at what point I actually was cancer free. Yeah. That's just when they told me there were no suspicious findings. I could have been cancer free a lot earlier. And I just was not going to the doctor and getting proof. My mind wasn't on that. I have kids. I have teenagers coming out the wazoo. You know, teenagers take up all of your mental energy, let me tell you. Mm. So, you know, that just wasn't the most important thing. I had made up my mind I was going to be healed, and I just didn't want to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So I can't honestly say when the cancer was really gone. I don't think anybody can.
Yeah. Okay.
And my doctor, actually, I go to she's not an actual naturopath, but she used to work with one. So she's a medical doctor who knows about natural medicine. So she still wants me to go back and get one more ultrasound or whatever to prove that I'm cancer free, which is going to come out of my pocket. So I haven't provided that proof for her yet. I don't need proof. I have Jesus, and I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, after you have the tumor removed, there's always that risk that you have cancer somewhere else in your body. Mm-hmm. It's always there. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of us do have cancer cells in our body.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody does. Mm-hmm. They just don't take over.
Yes.
So for the rest of my life, I will be careful about what I do with my health. Yeah. I'm not going to buy a scented candle where other people think they smell very nice. That's something I gave up. Mm-hmm. I have given up certain things because I'm going to be careful. I'm not in fear. You know, I'm just careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that. So let's talk about, like, what were the holistic modalities that you used? And did you also change your diet?
Absolutely. So I have to be honest. I love sugar. Sugar feeds cancer. So I am not recommending that you eat sugar, but I was not able to go sugar-free. Mm-hmm. But I did cut down the sugar, and I did try to find natural substitutes, like putting monk fruit in my coffee and things like that. So, and then also I don't like eat sugar all day long like I used to. Now I will only allow myself like a Weight Watcher fudge bar at night, but not like sugar all day long. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying to eat sugar. I'm saying control your diet. I did not go like vegetarian or anything like that. The main change I made was that I got off processed food. Like fast food is a no-no. And, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese and hamburger helper and those kind of things, stay away from those. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many chemicals and things in everything, not just food, but the subject we're talking about is food. So what I did was I kind of focused more on the food that God made. And some people might think I sound kind of religious. Okay, so you can call it Mother Nature, but food that came from the earth as opposed to being tampered with. Mm-hmm. And it's still a little hard to find absolute perfect food these days because our soil has been tampered with so much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do your best. Mm-hmm. Just try to eat organic and do the best you can.
Hey, I want to pause from today's episode and talk about an immune system molecule that has certainly changed my life, but is making a lot of waves out in the world. And strong immunity is my passion, and I truly believe that every single person needs to be using this molecule. It activates your natural killer cells. It makes your immune system 437% smarter. It kills cancer cells, and its main job is to help your body recognize a threat and then respond to it. Now, one of the great things about this molecule is if your body doesn't recognize where the problem is, it can't certainly fight it. So it's like this molecule points out where the problem is so it can effectively fight it. So if you are interested in what this molecule could do for you, go ahead and message me at hello@ericamatthews.co. All right, let's get back into today's episode.
I focused on fruits and vegetables. I still ate my beef and my chicken, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I increased fruits and vegetables in my diet. Fruits and vegetables are kind of super duper important. There are so many of them that will fight cancer. The word fight isn't really a wonderful word. It's better to say that they will help your body to resist cancer. But berries are good, cherries, and you can take an apricot and you can use a meat tenderizer and break it open and you can get the pit out of the middle and you can eat that. And it tastes just like an almond. Those are good. You probably have to get them from Mexico because our country has ridiculous laws. So you can buy apricot pits from Mexico, because I didn't really take a lot of them. I just ate one at a time. But I'm just talking about my diet change right now. When I eat an apple, I eat the seeds. They taste good. Mm-hmm. They taste like almonds. It's funny. All seeds taste like almonds, apparently. Mm-hmm. So the darker cherries and blackberries. Oh, I love blackberries now. And just the different berries are good, but blackberries, the darker they are, the better. Mm-hmm. So my husband will purposely buy the dark grapes for me. Like sometimes they're black and sometimes they're red, but red grapes have a lot of resveratrol, just like in red wine, and resveratrol is good for cancer. Oh, and cruciferous vegetables. So those are broccoli, cauliflower, kale. There's probably others. Is spinach one? I'm not sure. But anyway, those are good for cancer. I personally have to cook them. If you can eat them raw, that's great. I can't, because mm-hmm. I have the MTHFR mutation and I have a thyroid condition. So I try to avoid certain things that aren't good for the thyroid, but that's mm-hmm. just me. Mm-hmm. And you have to know your body. You have to know, and this is a rabbit trail for a minute, that you need to know your other health conditions. You yes. need to know what else you're dealing with. Do you have diabetes, a heart condition? What else is it that you have? You need to go to a doctor, preferably a naturopath, and you need to get to the bottom of things. And you need to address all those things, because if you have other things like the MTHFR mutation will cause you to indirectly get cancer. I'm not saying absolutely will happen, but mm-hmm. it contributes to that. So find out what your other health conditions are and deal with those also. Let's see, diet. Okay, so this is something I wanted to come back to. And that is that Jordan Rubin, have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wrote The Maker's Diet. He's a Jew. And I think he's a Christian too. But anyway, the Maker's Diet is basically from the Bible, Leviticus, I think chapter 11 and Deuteronomy 14. And it basically talks about which foods are clean and dirty. Now, I'm not trying to promote a religious way of thinking. Some people think that Christians can eat whatever they want because of some dream Paul had or somebody in the New Testament. So that means all food is safe. You know, I don't really go with that way of thinking. I prefer to use the Old Testament as advice, health advice. So for me, it's not a religious belief that I have to eat a certain way. He listed out which foods, he's very specific, which foods are safe for you and which foods are dirty. And there are two types of animals. There's the ones that were meant to be food. And these are, of course, my opinions. And then there's the ones that were meant to clean up things. Mm-hmm. So when you have a fish tank, you get your lovely little fish that are pretty and they go swimming back and forth and they're beautiful. And then you get your sucker fish or whatever they're called. And they go and they eat all the algae off the side of the tank. And that is their purpose. Their purpose is not to look pretty and decorate your living room. They are cleaning the tank. Okay, so that there are animals that were meant to clean the world up. Pigs are meant to clean things up. Vultures are meant to clean up. They will eat dead roadkill, you know? Mm-hmm. And so this is how you need to see animals, in my opinion. And if you go by this diet, I think that you're better off. Because, mm-hmm. okay, so Jordan Rubin talks about his friend that goes down to Florida once a year. Mm-hmm. And every time he goes to Florida, he has all the, quote, bottom feeders. So you have lobsters, crabs, all those kind of animals that eat all the yucky stuff on the bottom. Okay. So those are not considered clean foods in the mm-hmm. Bible. But this friend of his goes down to Florida, eats all that stuff, and comes home sick every single time.
Wow.
So I choose to eat the, quote, clean foods to keep my immune system stronger, because if I got cancer, then something was wrong with my immune system.
Yes.
Because we all have cancer cells, but mm-hmm. not all of us get cancer like tumors, you know, it doesn't take hold. So that's how I feel about food. And then if you want to eat your bacon once in a while, just maybe don't do it too often. Just have it be a little garnish on your salad or something, and not something you eat every single day. But I avoid it altogether personally.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh no, I love all that. I agree. Like, I mean, when God said, don't eat shrimp and those pork and all that, I mean, they're full of parasites, right? And that drives cancer. So exactly. He wasn't just saying it to be a rigid God. He's trying to protect us. So I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and parasites is a big thing. Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because when they cooked pork in the hottest of ovens that you can find, okay, a restaurant oven, because our household ovens don't get that hot, okay? So an oven that you would find at a restaurant is extra hot. When they cooked pork in one of those kind of ovens, the parasites did not die.
That's right.
So this is the reason why we need to be a little picky about what we eat for mm-hmm. our own sake. So what if everyone else thinks we're picky? It's your body, you know, have your boundaries. No, thank you. I'll have this over here, chicken, you know, mm-hmm. and every animal can have parasites, of yeah, course,
exactly.
But just some of them are worse. And so why compromise?
Right.
You know?
Well, and I mean, God created parasites because they eat the decay and the toxins in our body. But what's happening is it's coming in through our water systems in our home. It's on all the food. It's like they're putting it purposefully in everything so that we have too much of it. And then mm-hmm. too much of it, then, you know, they hatch up to 150,000 eggs a day. And it's like our body, you know, we're not meant to host that many parasites. And then mm-hmm. that's what turns into really just driving up disease. It really does. So I believe people need to be on some sort of a, you know, protocol just to keep a bay, you know, around the new moon, full moon and stuff. So, yeah,
exactly. That was one of the first things my naturopathic doctor did for me.
Ooh.
Is he put me on two things for parasites. I had Giardia, which you can get from water. So I won't name the company, but they have bottled, quote, spring water. It is not from a spring. It's from a well, and wells can be loaded with parasites. And that's most likely where I got Giardia.
No, it's not from Dasani.
No, it's Arrowhead, or no, what's it called?
Yeah, I think Arrowhead.
Yeah. So my brother and sister-in-law lived right next door to one of their plants, and it was a well. They can tell me it was a well. They saw it.
Wow.
So, you know, they're lying. Mm-hmm. It's too bad. It's too bad that we can't trust people.
Yeah.
It's important to do research.
Absolutely. Sounds like you did. This same for me, like this whole cancer journey has been an insane amount of research. I feel like I could write a book. You have to do that. Like you can't just rely, like it's wonderful that you have, you know, a medical professional that you can trust and all that, but just to solely rely on them, that's not wisdom, because God gave you a brain. And scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. So you need to go and get your own knowledge, right? And then apply So
yes, I have a whole collection of cancer books. I mean, I became a cancer book collector.
Same.
You know, I don't even know if I, some of them, I don't know if I got around to cracking the cover because I was homeschooling, you know, that's right. My excuse. Okay. So I wanted to tell you that this doctor for parasites, he put me on Barlean's olive leaf extract. So I think that's a really good remedy that will address lots of things.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing for people to just take once in a while, take during flu season or whatever. So it's Barlean's olive leaf extract, the olive tree in Bible days. It's the one tree that bugs can't eat it up. They have olive trees in Jerusalem or in Israel that are still there from the Bible days. They're still alive because bugs can't eat them because they don't taste good. Okay. So what they do is they take the olive leaf when it's brand new and fresh, like a baby leaf. And they press those and they get the olive leaf extract. And so that's good for parasites and probably lots of things. It's a good remedy just to have on hand.
Yeah.
And the other one they gave me was pine bark. Actually, the remedy I had pine bark in it. And I don't know what else it was. And I can't remember the name because it's been so long. I'm so sorry. Maybe you can do your own research and find it. But pine bark is a good thing. I believe that deer antlers were good for something. I don't know if it was parasites or what those are for. It just comes to mind right now. Because can you picture yourself living in the mountains and you're like scraping bark off a tree and eating leaves and you're finding a dead antler? Doesn't that sound funny? But really, God provided us with lots of natural remedies. You know, so mushrooms, there's one. Mushrooms are awesome. We were talking about diet earlier, and I was on a turmeric and turkey tail mushroom combination. And the turmeric has to have black pepper with it in order for your body to assimilate it. So I went to Dr. Mark Stengler in Encinitas, California, and he is the naturopath that sells this product. And so you might want to find it. It's called something wellness. What's it called? How come I didn't write that down? But it's got turkey tail. You could call him. I could look up the number. No, I'm using my phone right now for the video. But it's Mark Stengler, Stengler, in Encinitas, California. He is a medical doctor and a naturopath. And he sells this product, something wellness. I don't know why the name escapes me. And it's got the turkey tail mushroom and the turmeric. And there might be another ingredient in there. But that's a good kind of like a triple threat kind of a cancer remedy.
Well, mushrooms are really great also for your immune system. And again, when you have a cancer diagnosis, your immune system goes down quite a bit. So working on your immune system is always a good thing, you know?
Yes. For anything. Absolutely. Just work on your immune system and focus on the foods that are from the earth.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and not just things that are yummy. Try to change your thinking and try to focus on things that God or Mother Earth or whomever gave you to help you to be healthy, and get away from thinking, I'm craving this, I'm craving that, I want my Doritos or I want my favorite whatever. You know, try to change your thinking. Sure, allow yourself a treat now and then. Nobody's asking you to be a perfect angel. You know, we're human. We have to have our little treat once in a while. That's okay. Just keep it at a minimum. Just, you know, and try to change your thinking to focus more on things that are from the earth and organic. But you said something good about parasites, and I think you made me realize something. But I wanted to say that in the old days, a lot of people were farmers, and they would just deworm all their animals, and they dewormed themselves. It was just every 6 months, they automatically dewormed everybody, all the animals and all the family members, all at the same time. And you have to do it at the same time, really. You can't have one person on an anti-parasite regime or whatever you call it, and everyone else is not, because then you reinfect each other.
Yeah.
So my daughter deserves a spanking right now for not taking hers. She's 19. I can't spank her. But, you know, she failed me. But I'm, you know, oh, well. And there's different things you can do for parasites, like keep putting pumpkin seeds on your salad and things that will keep them kind of at bay. It might not kill off every last parasite you have in your body, but it'll keep them at bay.
Yeah. And that's really what we need to be, you know, doing, everybody. Yeah. It's out of control right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I love all of this. This has just been amazing. So sounds like you partnered with the Holy Spirit, you know, read God's word. You believed God for healing, worked out the fear situation. You didn't let it control you. You mm-hmm. had a support system. You changed your diet and, you know, supplements. Did you ever ask yourself, or did it ever, I don't know, occur to you, like, why did I get a cancer diagnosis?
I'm sure I did. And my first answer was I ate too many gummy worms. That was what came to me.
Wow.
That was my favorite snack, is those little gummy worms. And they had gelatin in them, which is from pork. And I don't eat that anymore. But I just kept eating those. And I don't think that's the real reason. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to me is basically I'm eating too much sugar. Mm. That's going to cause your body to be highly acidic. Mm-hmm. And you need to be more alkaline to have your immune system stronger.
Yes.
So I don't know if it works to go around drinking alkaline water. There's other things you need to do for your immune system, but you need to focus on a kind of a more alkaline, eat more fruits and vegetables. You know, not that you can't have meat and all that stuff. Just you need to have a different kind of a balance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So would you advise somebody who is newly diagnosed to getting a naturopath doctor, somebody that is familiar with cancer, but going around about it the natural way? Or what would you say to that?
That would be awesome. And I don't think that you should try to go it alone. Like we said, research is wonderful. Books are great. There are groups on Facebook that you can join and you can learn a lot from them. And that's really nice that people share with each other. But I still think that doctors are trained in things that we are not. And they look at the whole picture, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're looking at, a naturopath would. They would look at the whole picture and they would deal with the other things also. And mm-hmm. I think that's good. And I didn't mention that you should probably do a liver cleanse if you've never done that. Mm-hmm. Because we've got all the toxins in our world. You've got like your little air freshener deal that you hang from your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. Get rid of that.
Yes.
Get some essential oils and put it on a piece of felt or something and put that in your car or wherever in your bathroom, wherever you want it to smell nice. Mm-hmm. But you know, you need to get away from all the chemicals. You need to stop cleaning with bleach and all those things. And you need to get back to natural stuff like just plain old vinegar and baking soda, you know, and sometimes it takes a little elbow grease, which means use your muscles. But, you know, you really need to get away from all the chemicals the best you can. You can't get away from all of them. You need to change your environment the best you can. Copper pipes might not be a safe thing. Copper can contribute to breast cancer. So that's something to think about if you're looking to buy a house. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've heard of Hulda Clark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's famous. My naturopath said that she was ahead of her time. Like people thought she was crazy and kook, but she knew a lot. She actually died of cancer, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't read her book. She knew a lot. I've learned a lot from her book, and it's so overwhelming at first. If you buy cancer books, please don't read them cover to cover overnight. Please don't do that. Mm-hmm. Read a little at a time. And like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And you've got to just do it little bits at a time. I know I'm so totally getting off the subject. Well, I don't even know what you're asking.
I agree with that because, I mean, if you're just, we're in our bodies, right? So we are the ones that feel everything. You know, you can't get away with it. And so if you're just constantly focused on, oh, I got to heal, I got to get rid of this cancer, I got it. And you're reading all these books and you're in these Facebook groups and you're just going to be, it's too much and it's not healthy.
It can be. Yes. It can be very overwhelming. Right. And you can't just bombard yourself with loads of information, right. You know? So yeah, definitely go to a naturopath doctor and you still don't have to take his advice. Mm-hmm. But go there and see how he can help you and try it out. and
exactly.
do you also your own research and also make changes little at a time. You don't have to change your whole diet tomorrow, you know, but a little at a time, try to make changes, you know, yeah. for your sake, not for anybody else.
Right.
You know, you need to do what you need to do for you.
That's right. Personal responsibility, taking ownership. And I love that that's what you did. And your results yeah. are what they are, completely cancer-free. So
can I say something else?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to say that you are your best friend.
Yeah.
You need to love yourself.
Mm.
God created you and he loves you so much and he wants the best for you and he has a plan for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to take care of yourself because he is not going to slap your hand when you take a cookie out of the jar. You have to take care of yourself and you need to focus on self-care. Mm. Make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Don't be like people will say, oh, you're OCD. You know what? Be OCD. If you liked alphabetizing everything and putting everything in numerical order, fine. Do what makes you feel good. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Be OCD or whatever you are, whatever it is that you that comes natural for you, go ahead and do that. Love yourself and don't be ashamed that you're OCD or whatever people want to label you and somebody else is not. Somebody else is more chill and go with the flow. We're all different. You mm-hmm. need to learn to accept yourself the way God made you. And maybe at the end, we can talk about our relationship with the Lord.
Yes. Well, we are running out of time. So if there's anything you want to say in regards to that, go for it.
Yes. Okay. So I want you to enjoy your life. You need to go see a comedian, go for a walk, do what you love. Mm-hmm. What is it that you are putting off that you're not allowing yourself to do? You need to have a craft or something that you enjoy doing, and then you need to have peace. And the way to have peace, in addition to the things I just mentioned, is with God. So if you don't really feel like you know Jesus in a personal way, I mean, I don't know what your religion is, and I don't know what church you go to, the people who are listening. And God loves you no matter where you're going and no matter what your belief is and no matter where you are spiritually, he loves you no matter what. But if you want to make peace with God, then I suggest you pray, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. And I would go so far as to say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now, some of you might not believe that he is from God. And you're going to have to do your own research. And I would encourage you to just pray, Lord, I just need you to show me the truth, because you owe it to yourself to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else can convince you. You should go to this church or that church or believe this religion or that religion or read this book. Nobody can convince you. You have to find out for yourself. So I encourage you to just pray. God, if you're real, if maybe you don't even know there is a God, if you're real, please show me. And please show me the truth. And please lead me in the way that I should go. Because peace with God is important. And maybe you are at stage 4 and maybe you will not live much longer. Where are you going to go? It would be a good idea to make peace with God and end up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be more fun than hell.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, gosh, thank you so much, Denise, for this amazing conversation and just giving us so much hope and sharing your story. I know so many people are going to be inspired that they too can heal and, you know, go the natural route. So I love it.
Yes, you certainly can. You need to trust your body that it knows how to heal itself, but it needs a little help sometimes.
Yeah.
But God did make our bodies to know how to heal. It's just that people have messed everything up.
Yep.
With all our chemicals. So
right.
Now we have a mess on our hands, basically. But God bless everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. You have a great day. Thank you so much.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. My prayer is that the podcast encouraged you and filled you with hope. If you loved what you heard today and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it on social media and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at It's Erica Matthews and join my Hope and Healing for Cancer Facebook group. Remember this, anything worth having takes work. See you next week for a new episode.